Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.
Now, we're living in uncertain times, and Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD, is back with us today for the last of his three-part series, helping us find ways to live with the global and local uncertainties that seem to be hitting us from every direction. We've been talking about awe over the last couple of weeks and how awe can help us weather the storms and live with uncertainty, more joy and increase in our resilience. Well, today we're going to look at the psychology of hope and what Paul calls grown-up hope and why grown-up hope is essential for the times that we're living in. So, Paul, you're very welcome as always. We might start with what defines hope in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, the definition of hope is very important, Sarah, because researchers in the field will tell us that hope is the belief that the future can be better than today, and that we have the ability to make it so. So there's a couple of pieces in that that maybe we'll break down as we chat over the next few minutes. When we think about hope, Sarah, it's really important to distinguish hope from what I kind of describe as kind of childhood hope. So when I'm talking about hope, you say I'm talking about adult grown-up hope. Mm. And that's different to magical thinking, to the kid who thinks if I don't walk on the cracks in the pavement, bad things won't happen. If I think about something, I can control other people. That's very, very different. And that kind of thinking in psychology is known as magical thinking, and that's supposed to end when we're about seven, the superstitious kind of thinking. So you do hear it, Sarah, in adults sometimes, and it really irks me. You know, you hear adults who talk about finding a parking space because they put the right energy into the world, or the universe intervened at the right time. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about grown-up hope, I'm talking about hope that is a verb. So what do I mean by that? I'm talking about hope that is accompanied by action. So it's not magical. It's not dependent on good energy or vibes or the universe intervening. That's far too woo-woo for me. The kind of hope that I'm talking about is pragmatic. It's full of effort. It's the kind of hope, Sarah, that, you know, I hope I win the national lottery. Okay, so a really important step there is buying a ticket. Mm. Okay, so it requires action. So it's not wishful thinking. So it's really important to distinguish that, because this kind of hope involves our agency, right? Or our capacity to identify a goal and to take small steps in that direction. It involves how we think. And when you look at this kind of hope, the research is really interesting because it tells us that people do better academically, people report better relationships, and people report less depression. And even in some cases, a greater capacity to manage pain when they have this kind of adult hope. Does that make a bit of sense?
I'm mostly with you. I'm still not sure if I have it or not.
Yeah.
In terms of putting it into practice, so, you know, things feel bad, lots of bad things happening in the world. You know, it can be very easy, actually, to get hopeless about stuff that's happening, you know, and feel a sense of no control, helplessness and hopelessness.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
where do you get the hope out of things that you've no control over?
Yeah. And Sarah, I think you've put your finger on something really important there, because we are living at a time when it's quite easy to feel quite hopeless. So, you know, people will say to me, God, you know, in the face of what's happening perhaps in the US, for example, the rollback on women's rights, the rollback on all sorts of EDI or DEI related, the rise of toxic masculinity. So it's very easy in that kind of a situation to give up hope, to think, okay, there's actually nothing we can do with this. But it's really important to say that when we give up hope, that we trip into despair. And when we trip into despair, we get paralysed. So if you think, Sarah, for a minute or two about clinical depression, right? So normal sadness We'll all have periods of sadness in our lives. But when we're clinically depressed, when I've treated, worked with patients who've been clinically depressed, the defining feature there is the absence of hope. They have given up hope. And actually, when a society gives up hope, we're in real trouble. Mm. When a society, the degree of hope that a society has will indicate the degree of happiness and well-being that that society has. So just kind of thinking about this a little bit, right? So when we think about big changes that we've probably witnessed in our lives, we think about the Good Friday Agreement. We think about the election of the first female president. We think about marriage equality, for example. All of those social movements that brought about incredible change in the lives of people were based on hope because people saw a possibility. Yeah.
So you said something very interesting there, and I'm just trying to figure out where hope comes from. You said when people give up hope. So there's a proactive act there, is there?
Yeah.
So is it... Where does hope come from? Is it how you talk to yourself or don't talk to yourself? Where is it?
Cormac, so there's two things here that are really important. The hope that we're talking about is cognitive. And what do I mean by that? I mean, it is how we think about the world, how we think about possibility. So it's not, Cormac, hope isn't a feeling. Hope, as I said, it's a verb and it's about our cognition. So I can decide, I can make a choice and a decision about how I'm going to confront a challenge in my life. I'm not saying that that's easy. Mm. I'm not saying, and nor am I saying that that should involve any sort of heroics.
Yeah.
I'm talking about small incremental changes here.
The uber positive, everything is great, sicko that I hate to meet, because that's not reality either.
No.
I mean, that's hope, I don't want it.
Yeah. Cormac, I'm really glad to hear you say that, because one of the real dangers when we talk about hope is that we get it really confused with positivity. And we've chatted here several months ago about toxic positivity. Toxic positivity is that belief that everything is meant to happen for a reason. Get up and put a smile on and you're going to be okay, and there's reasons here. And that is not hope, because hope recognises the pain that we're in at the moment and it recognises possibility. So I recognise that this is difficult, and I recognise that there's possibility here. Toxic positivity does not recognise that. Mm-hmm. It is the tyranny of the positive. Cormac, 18 years of working on a cancer ward down the road in St. Vincent's. And one of the psychological terrors that were inflicted on people with cancer was toxic positivity. Okay. Smile. You get on with this. It's okay. Look on the bright side. Oh my God.
That's obviously not what you're talking about. Really interesting grown-up hope. There you go. Paul, thank you so much for joining us to talk us through it. That is Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD.
And we will, of course, be podcasting all of Paul's talks, and they're being well received, of course.